Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. I'm your host, Ralph Malbro. As always, we are sponsored We are sponsored by the Pelican House 2572.
13-3, baby!
2672 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
They should gotta believe!
They should probably have a Les Miles drinks special to celebrate his 12 years. They have 136.
We're chewing the grass, baby!
We have 136 draft beers. They have a 54 TV. The Pelican House. They're awesome. You should go there. You should support them because they support us.
Mad Hatter!
Oh, my fucking God. The Saints are 0-3, and that defense... Andrew, look.
They're just lulling the rest of the league into a false sense of security.
Andrew, that defense looked as bad as any defense Sean Payton has ever had. I didn't think they could be as bad as they were when they played Washington last year. Last night, it was at least as bad, maybe worse.
Yeah, you know, for me, the run defense was just abysmal in every facet. I mean, I just felt like
I was agreeing with you.
Oh, I was really scared and worried that you were going to be like, and the recording just dropped out.
Yeah.
I would say that, you know, in terms of run support, tackling, just general. Which is really weird. I mean, I get it because Tyler Davison and Kenny Vaccaro were out. Those are huge factors. But to see them play, you know, it was 32 carries, 64 yards, 2 yards a carry against the Giants. To see them dominate the Giants in the trenches like that, and merely 8 days later play at home against the Falcons and just get gashed repeatedly.
The Giants have a better offensive line than Atlanta, right? And you're at home.
No, Atlanta has a good. I think Atlanta has a decent offensive line, and they have that zone scheme which works really well for Devontae Freeman. It was bad, embarrassingly bad.
Cost me a fantasy win.
It won me a fantasy.
So, Kevin, you were as outraged as I was over the ESPN broadcast. So I'm just going to let you go there. We're just spewing anger. So I want you to spew anger at the beginning. So you just
go right ahead. So listen. They decided, I don't even know what quarter it was in. It was definitely the second half. They decide to show Katrina footage. Like, helicopter, you know, the helicopter, the flooded city, people wading through the water down, I don't know what the fuck, I don't know if it was Canal or Poydras or whatever, but pick a main thoroughfare, and it's flooded, and people are, wading through it with whatever shit they could get, and carrying it over their heads. Great fucking decision, ESPN, broadcasting that shit. That's great. That's great.
They should have Chris Berman do that.
That's fucking great. Why don't you just fucking have Chris Berman just come on the screen and just say back, back, back for an hour? nonstop. That would be less frustrating and less aggravating, okay? Because as much as I hate Chris Berman, I don't have PTSD from Chris Berman, okay? Okay? I literally saw 4 seconds of the Katrina footage from ESPN and immediately was overcome with a sense of dread. And not the, oh my God, Devonta Freeman has the ball in the backfield sense of dread. Just, oh my God, my body is on the verge of just going into shock kind
did
of
you
dread.
Just, did you just say you Devonta?
Whatever the fuck his name is.
You called him Devonta.
How do you say his name?
It's Devonte.
For fuck's sake, calm down.
That's not a full, Ralph. That's not even a quarter.
Do you guys watch football? That's an eighth Ralph. He's only like a fucking top five running back in the NFL.
Man.
I'm talking about serious fucking mental issues here.
ESPN is exacerbating.
You're here quibbling with me about the fucking first name pronunciation of our hated rival.
I
apologize.
Held is always in a fragile mental state. So Dave.
I tell you what, ESPN, get fucked! Get fucked!
So Dave,
whichever one of you thought that was a good idea, get fucked!
So Dave, you were at the game?
I was there, in person.
The crowd seemed very lively, and then they just dropped off. They did.
They did. They fell off a cliff.
Thanks a lot, Devonta Harris.
That was out.
I said Freeman!
Well, he was the one that did the little bit. All that sequence needed was the Benny Hill yakety sax. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah.
But Dave, you were there. So your thoughts on the crowd? They didn't seem to turn against the Saints. They didn't boo at all. They just sort of were like, yeah. They were
booing the refs because there were definitely quite a few questionable calls. Especially early, but no, the first part of the game, they brought out Irma Thomas. She sang the Star Spangled Banner. They did the little unity circle. That was adorable. the crowd was totally pumped. The Saints put together, you know, they got the ball first. They put together an awesome opening drive.
Everybody
was feeling good. We were getting that primetime game in the dome feeling back for, like it was 2011 again. Then the defense comes out. Cam Jordan gets the sack. They force the punt. Everybody's like, this is it. Do the stunt. Let's get a block right here. Oh, my God. The ultimate homage to Steve Gleason. Oh, it would be awesome. And instead, obviously, they muffed the punt. It was the complete opposite of 10 years ago. And Gleason's blocked punt.
What an asshole.
Who, Eric Harris?
Devonta Harris, but yeah.
I mean, here's the thing, like...
It's a double whammy, Ralph. You don't run into your returner, and then you don't pick up the ball. You're not a skill guy. Don't touch the football. What are you doing?
I think it touched him in the balls. I think it was like in the groin and he had to touch it.
No, I don't think it. I watched.
That's debatable. I rewatched the game. I watched it four times. It's not clear the ball ever hit him until he tried to field it.
It's not. You're correct that it's not clear, but it looks like it may have bounced off of who was returning the kick.
Tommy Lee.
Like it kind of bounced off. Tommy Lee was at that point, he was on the ground.
The fugitive.
At that point, Tommy Lee was on the ground, and it looked like when the ball finally came down, it bounced off of the field and kind of careened off of the bottom of his foot and right up into Eric Harris. The thing is if it bounced perfectly into his arms. Had he just held on to it, which it should have been fairly easy. Obviously, I know he probably wasn't expecting that. But it bounced right into his numbers, and if he had just held on to it, it would have been fine. But
we should ask Pamela Anderson; she might have a more accurate recount of what exactly happened.
But Ralph, to answer your initial question, I mean, after that, the Falcons obviously scored, and the crowd was never really the same. But for those first two series, they were really into it. And for this game, you know, normally, you know, every now and then, I'm always sitting next to somebody relating to one of the Saints players. Tonight, for the first time, we were sitting next to Jari Evans's wife, and she was a lot of fun. She was more fun than anybody else. I've sat next to Mark Ingram's girlfriend. I've sat next to Ben Watson's wife and family. But Jari Evans's wife, she was funny. She was having a couple of drinks. We talked the whole time.
Was she wearing the jersey?
She was wearing a Jari Evans jersey. Yes.
Nice.
She was actually a lot of fun.
What jersey would you have thought I asked? Why did you need to specify that there? Did you think I was asking?
I don't know.
She was wearing a Breeze jersey.
She's wearing a Breeze.
You asked, was she wearing the jersey? I thought that was a very bizarre way to phrase the question.
Why would I be implying?
I don't know. But either way, why wouldn't you just say, was she wearing his jersey? Why would you say
I obviously
jersey?
Meant
what's
the,
with
her,
the fucking
her
ambiguity? What's with the goddamn ambiguity?
I obviously meant her Morton Anderson jersey.
We are salty at 0-3, man. We're turning on each other. Andrew, can the Saints have just average special
one stop?
No, I've given up on the special. I'm going to talk about the special teams. I've given up. Can the special teams be good?
No.
Andrew, can the special teams just not be a fucking calamity? Is that possible?
I mean, how does freaking Ed McMahon, and yes, I said that wrong on purpose. How does he still have a job?
You know, he's got...
How can he have the greatest punter in the history of the Saints for going on a decade... and yet still put together such, I mean, you just said it, calamity.
It's calamity.
It's a joke.
It's a calamity. Like, I don't even, like, it's.
I don't even have a joke.
I don't even have a joke.
The 57-yard field goal was impressive.
Yes. He might
Lutz and butts.
He might be the kicker. He might be the kicker the whole year, Kevin. We might have to put the duck blind jokes on hold. You know?
He kind of sort of had a tackle / saved a touchdown, too.
Kevin,
God, this special team sucks. Jesus.
Kevin, have the amount of injuries just completely destroyed any opportunity for the Saints to dig themselves out of this hole and give us a chance to pretend that they might do something this season?
Pretend? What is anybody? Listen, I can't remember which one of y'all it was that was dealing with some nutbag who was just like being overly positive and then suddenly like blocking people. It might have been Skooks or Super Deformed. I don't know, but some whack job lady was just being like way too positive. And you know what? That's your typical fan.
Well, no,
the one who thinks, oh, we're going to turn it around.
Not
none of us did any of us who. Okay, Ralph, you were saying you went in saying 5-11. I went in saying 6-10.
I said 4-12. I said 4-12.
Okay, you said 4-12. I said 6-10.
Well,
Dave,
that's looking prescient.
Dave, what did you say?
Six and ten. Yeah.
Okay, 5-11. And you went 5-11, Juge.
Yeah.
None of us thought they were even going 8-8. And now, I'm sure some of the. The Twitter intelligentsia, who of course know better than all four of us, or know better than anybody, and are willing to point out every little,
including Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis.
Yeah, every little this, that, the other thing. I'm sure they were thinking after the first touchdown of the season that now we're going to the Super Bowl, baby. You know, just to get a rise because they're secretly jabronis. Well, actually, that's equally. They're full-on jabronis. If you can rub two brain cells together and make a spark, this team ain't gone to the fucking playoffs.
Well, no, I'm not
this
even...
Playoffs? This team ain't going... This team is going to be lucky to get to six wins.
Well, no,
here's... Lucky! To get to six wins.
Please tell me you guys
saw Jim Mora lost his mind. It was phenomenal.
Oh, you need to do that, Kevin.
It's phenomenal. No, I'm not saying they're going to the playoffs. I'm not saying getting there 8-8. I'm saying this team is so bad that the mini turnarounds that we had in 2012 and 2014 and 2015, where they started out 0-4 or 1-3 and got themselves to 4-4, and we could lie to ourselves and be like, they're 4-4. They're turning it around. If they run the table, they can get, you know, and you say it and you know it in your heart that they're going to suck, but you have this false hope when you go to a game and they're 4-4 or you watch a game on TV that you can get excited about it because it kind of sort of has playoff implications. I don't even think they're getting to that this year, Andrew. Like, they're not digging themselves out of this hole.
Yeah, I mean, for a long time, you know, the narrative on this podcast has been that 7-9 is the floor.
Yeah, I
think they're going to surpass that. And
the floor done crashed.
Yeah, you know, it's tough, man. I think I'm sitting there watching the game in my living room last night, and... You know, it's weird. In some ways, there was a weird acceptance in some ways where I really felt like the first 2 weeks, I knew how important the Raiders game was. I knew, like, they had to start 1-0. It was just so critical to win that game. And for them to lose, especially the way they did, I mean, as a fan, it took a lot of wind out of my sails. I really felt like that was in some ways a death sentence for the season, even though it was the first game.
And then
I kind of expect the worst going into the Giants, and then to have it happen again the way it happened, you know, in some ways, like, so damaging from a psyche and morale standpoint those first 2 weeks. It was almost a relief to get our ass kicked.
Here's my question, Dave. I think when we look back at the 2016 Saints season, the peak of their season is going to be the 98-yard bomb to Cooks when they led the Raiders 24-10. That's going to be the peak of the season.
Did that touchdown make them go up 31-10?
No, 24-10.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, how did they lose after that play? God.
Dave, that's going to be the peak of their season. Am I wrong?
I think you're wrong. I mean, that's just silly. look, what I think
what
is
are they
going to
do that's more epic than the longest play in franchise history?
To go up two scores in the season opener.
You know, look, here's what I would
assume. No. Dave, what else are they going to do?
I am answering your question in a long, convoluted, roundabout way. So just shut the fuck up and listen. fuck, what was I going to say? God damn it. Here's what's going to happen this season, you know, because this season has started just like
you're
last
so
season.
So full of shit already,
and just like other seasons we've seen, they're going to lose to San Diego. They're probably going to go 0-4. But you know what's going to happen? They're going to put together a small string of wins. They may get back to like 4-4 again, and they're going to start
Have you seen the schedule?
That's how I'm answering your question, because at some point to get one of those wins, they're going to do something improbable that nobody would even possibly think was imaginable. They're going to pull off some upset, and they're going to get back to like 500 or close to 500, they might do something like that, and they're going to give you just the smallest little smidgen of hope that maybe they're going to turn it around, but then it's all going to go to shit again.
You know what's weird about these three games is, as pissed off as we are, and as disappointed as we are, and as much as we're like, they suck, they're terrible, they have done impressive things in all three of these games.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Look, like you want to look at the positive side. First of all, we're number two on the waiver wire. That's cool. just behind the Jaguars.
More Paul Krugers. Come on down.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, hey, look, this is starting to feel like the old Saints that were terrible that we all used to just follow and lament over. So it's kind of like taking a trip down memory lane.
Ugh.
Well, I just want you guys to know that I compiled a post today called The Survivor Guide for a Miserable 2016.
Did it involve alcohol, black tar, heroin, and prescription drugs?
There are references to oxycodone and alcohol, yes.
Yeah, that's
good. Oxycodone?
Purple drank.
Oxycodone?
Oxycotton.
Purple drank.
Yeah, so, you should be on the lookout for this on the Saints Nation this week. There will be some ground rules for some of you fans that have been around only since 2006 and don't really know what awful for you is 7-9. it's going to be a little prep course for you guys into how to get through a season like this.
Does Paul Krueger have a sack?
No, I don't think so.
He does not.
Kevin, what's
that would
more?
Be incorrect.
He does have a sack?
He does not.
Yeah, in between his legs.
Oh.
I'm not even sure that's accurate.
Kevin.
All right, direct Ooh. All tweets and hate mail to Andrew Juge, care of
Kevin,
the Greenbrier.
Kevin, what's more likely to happen? Paul Krueger gets a sack? Or,
whatever the other option is.
Or David Onyemata gets a sack and I butcher his name.
I think he means that metaphorically or physically, I guess. Kevin, answer this however you need to. When will Paul Krueger get a sack?
And I'm pulling up the schedule right now.
I don't think you're understanding me here.
He's not. He's taking.
When will he get a sack?
Next time he goes to the bathroom.
So.
Or next time he's sitting on his couch and he's bored for 5 minutes. I don't know.
You're giving him way too much credit.
I mean, Dave, they need to. I want him out of my life. Like, same thing with Jared
Krueger.
Yeah, I don't want to see him. I want someone else. I don't care. I
definitely agree with you on Jairus Byrd. He's just. We just have to just give up. Just give it up.
No,
already.
Let's go around
the table real quick. Everyone pick who they're done with the most on the Saints right now.
I already went.
You can pick front. You can pick front office or player.
Loomis.
Or coach.
Loomis.
All right. Grouf.
Oh, the special teams coach.
Ed McMahon.
Egg McMahon. I'm done with him. I want him put in a cannon and fire to Chalmette. Andrew, who are you done with?
I'm going Roman Harper.
Love the dude,
but like I was kind of glad we got him out of the building last time, and now he's like 3-4 years older.
Yeah.
No like, thanks.
It is such a steep fall off from Vakar to him. Like that might be even a worse fall off than like when it was at when they had the corner issues in 2014, and they were playing Brian Dixon. And because at least like Tyler Davison to Jenkins, like it's not off a cliff. It's sort of like down a hill and you just tumble a little bit. I mean, Roman Harper, the difference between Vaccaro and Roman Harper, I mean, that's the difference between, like, taking a plane ride.
It was like the fall off from Pierre Thomas to Julius Jones.
Oh, that's a good one. Julius Jones smoked cigarettes, though. I always liked him. All right, let's let's go around the horn for this one. Saints over under 3.5 wins. Kevin, over under 3.5.
Thank you for saying half.
Yeah.
So that way none of us can fucking push. Under, they're going 3-13.
Oh, Dave.
You know, like I said earlier, I think that they're going to at some point string together a few wins. I'm still sticking with my prediction of 6-10, so over.
Andrew?
Yeah, I'm feeling good about my prediction of 5-11. So I'll stick with that. Over.
So they'd have to go 5-8 the rest of the way.
That feels tough. Honestly,
I'm going under, man. I don't see where they're going to get these wins. I'm sure they're going to luck into a couple, but if this defense doesn't heal up, I don't give a heck who they play, man. They're going to get mashed.
At this point, like, if you could get one win, would you rather beat Cam Newton or split with Atlanta if you can only be promised one?
I tell you what, I'll say it. Since the Falcons are the last game of the season, and it's in Atlanta, and it's on New Year's Day.
And it's the last game in the Georgia Dome.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, you got
And chances are, you know, there's an outside shot that the Falcons could be playing for, you know, the win in the division, because I think this division's only given up one playoff spot. So I could see the Falcons maybe being in the hunt. So the Saints giving a big fuck you. I would take that. It would especially be great, because imagine if they were only going to get one win. If it was only one win, they are 0-15 going into the final season or going into the final game. And Falcons fans everywhere are licking their fucking chops and they blow it.
They blow a playoff spot in the last game in the Georgia Dome.
I am salivating. You have already created a scenario for me, Ralph. I'm sorry, Kevin. That is making me excited.
I mean, yeah.
It takes very little. Honestly.
That is a long 12 weeks, though. We got 12 more of these shows to do. We got, think of how much, I mean, you got like 3 blog posts a week, Jude. I mean, that is, I mean, 0-15, that is a, God.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, Jesus. Bright spot, any?
There's no way they're losing. There's no way they're going 1-15 with Breeze at quarterback.
No.
It's not going to happen.
Bright spots from the game, Dave. Michael Thomas looks freaking amazing.
Michael Thomas looked amazing. Another bright spot for me personally, Kobe Fleener, my starting tight end, finally showed up. This was his make or break week for me. If he shit the bed again this week, I was just going to dump him. But I'm going to keep him. I'm going to stick around. He helped. What was perfect was, so my opponent had already played all of
his guys. Stick around.
I was down by 4 points, but my opponent had already played all his guys. So I had Devontae Freeman, and I had Kobe Fleener, and I just needed 5 points to win. And I was super happy that they got Fleener involved early, and I got those points and the win out of the way early. So I didn't have to root for Freeman to play kind of good. So that was a bright spot too. And like I said, hey, second on the waiver priority list. How awesome is that?
Not to make this fantasy football, but any people in the podcast fantasy league that listen to this show that are in the adult league, I have major quarterback issues and depth at running back. So DM me. We can make a deal. Tyrod Taylor isn't going to cut it.
Slide into Ralph.
By the way,
slide into Ralph's DM.
Do you know who the high scorer was in the Children's League?
That would be you?
Me, baby. Me.
So, All right, we got some Twitter questions. So, and this was one I was going to ask, but this is from JBR. What percentage of this debacle, Kevin, is due to rotten luck versus bad front office coaching? I would like all four views. Kevin.
Bad front office coaching?
/ coaching.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Kevin.
Well, I mean, let's see. Listen, Breeze is on pace to throw for over 5,600 yards. That is insane.
No, he needs
now,
to go.
Now, he's not going to throw 5,600 yards.
Why not?
But here's the thing.
He would have to
seriously fuck. Now, granted, he's going to have a couple of stinkers. He would have to have several stinkers to not have a shot at 5,000 yards.
All he has to do is average 380 now, the rest of the way to get to 6.
Oh, only. So now I say all that. Despite all that, this team does not run the ball nearly enough.
They need to stop running altogether. They need to stop running altogether. They need to go for stats. They need to go for stats. Look,
that's my entire.
I remember
Breeze's Hall of Fame resume.
I remember when I would play with my dad and I. We would play Madden or we'd play Tecmo Super Bowl back in the day, and. The great thing about playing video games, right, is that you don't get the media shaming if you just completely disrespect your opponent, right? Like the game is completely out of reach, and yet you're throwing bombs, you're throwing Hail Marys up 30 in the fourth quarter, and you go for two, and on the last play of the game you call timeout with 2 seconds left so you can throw one more pass to the end zone.
Oh, dude,
to pad your stats and run up the score. And like you can't get away with that in civilized society because that you get the media shaming and oh, what a bad sport. But in video games, every one of us has done that and played it and padded our stats. And at this point, like I'm rooting for stats, baby.
6K.
That's all I have this year. I'm rooting for stats.
It's my entire column this week for WWE.
Let 6K. Pete Carmichael call the plays the rest of the year. Don't ever run the football again. Pad the stats.
All right, Andrew.
Don't punt on fourth down.
No more than like they can run by the goal line, but no, you can't. Nobody ever threw for 6,000 yards handing off.
No. Don't run by the goal line. That takes away a touchdown pass.
But Andrew,
easy one.
Who's is it more injuries to blame or front office for this mess?
It's both. I mean, yeah. you've got it, as far as the immediate issues, you know, like last night, I would say it's hard to win a football game when you've got so many damn starters that are out with injury. Going back all the way to, you know, I think this whole thing started with Kikaha. He was the first major player to be lost for the season. So obviously it's hard to win a game when you're half of your second team out there playing against, you know, everybody else's first team. But at the same time, that's not an excuse. This is the NFL. I mean, you look at teams like the Patriots, who are on to their third quarterback here, and I mean, they're still not only winning against decent teams like the Texans, but dominating. Or teams like Minnesota, where they've got Adrian Peterson out for quite a while, and they lost Bridgewater. That's just part of the game, and you need to be prepared for that, and you need to be able to overcome that. And the Saints aren't able to do that because they have... They lack depth. They are a very shallow team. There is nothing beyond their 22 starters, and that's an issue. And that is because of the front office issues, because of the terrible drafting and the stupid free agency moves and all the dead money and the.
I will say this. I do feel like there have been positive steps made with their drafting. I think you look at the last. Couple draft classes, it's been better. I don't know that it's been home runs, but there's been signs of better talent coming in. Look, the first round picks of the last few years, I mean, Ingram, Vaccaro, Armstead was obviously a great pick, but Ingram, Vaccaro, Cooks,
Jordan,
Jordan, a lot of these first round picks now are looking pretty good, and they're core parts of the team. You know, hopefully Rankins will be an extension of that when he comes back.
Yeah, but I think they missed on Anthony. But
well, hopefully not. I mean, there's still hope with Anthony, I think. But you know, I think when you add it all up together, I agree with everything that Dave said. But I think there's an opportunity here with the cap next year. I think they're on, I hope they're on to something. I feel like that they made deals, for example, with Kruger, where if he was going to be a disaster, they're out of that deal pretty quickly. And they didn't make a lot of investments this offseason. And I know a lot of people are already blasting the Fleener deal, but I really think Fleener's going to be fine. I don't think he will be Jimmy Graham, but I don't think it will be a colossal bust of an investment.
When did he shave his head?
He gave his hair for the Locks of Love or something.
He did that this week.
Okay.
This past week.
Yeah, I mean, I just think with the Saints, they just now I really think you can chalk 2016 up to injuries, because I think
their
defense, it would have been really, really interesting. If it was,
I mean, Robertson and Fairley were great pickups. Great pickups.
Yep.
Outstanding pickups.
You know, and I think Rankin
and Delvin Bro a year ago. Outstanding pickup.
You know, and PJ Williams looked good. You know,
yeah. Swan was a good pick. I mean, I think they made a lot of moves over the last 2 years that added talent to their defense to get it going in the right direction. And this defense was never going to be a top five defense. I think we can all agree with that. That's the most obvious statement ever. But there was enough talent on this team before all the injuries to be a top 20 defense, which probably would have been enough for them to be 2-1 right now. And they probably could have absorbed half the injuries they had, and they'd still be 2-1. But it's just been too much.
Too much. You know, let's see what other questions we have. When do we start pointing the finger at Sean Payton, Andrew?
I think it's completely fair for fans to do that now. I think at some point, what I don't think is fair is those that are blasting play calling. Those that are lamenting, like, the double reverse to Tommy Lee Lewis. Oh, he's getting too cute. Like, the Saints are the fourth offense in the NFL. Like, complain all you want about individual calls or what you would have done differently from Sean Payton that you think would yield better results on an NFL field. But the end result is the number four offense in the NFL. And if you think you could do a better job, go out there. I promise you, you're not putting together the number four offense in the NFL.
Look, I don't think that I can do better than Peyton, and I like Peyton's play calling, the double reverse, that kind of crap I don't care about. I like that he, for the most part, he stays aggressive. But I will say that in the fourth quarter, when the Saints were driving and they were down by 13 and they were in their red zone and they got that first down in the red zone, and then breeze through that pick six. I'm saying this not. I did not like the play call even before the pass was even thrown. So I'm not saying this as a Monday morning quarterback. I was annoyed that they had. I believe they had an empty backfield on that play. That you have first down in the red zone. You have Ingram and Hightower, who are both at that point rushing for over 6.1 yards a carry. You know, that's the one thing that's working for you. I didn't like the call, and I said it in that instant
before the ball was even snapped. Whoa, whoa, whoa! That's not the one thing that was working.
I mean, that's not
a fair statement.
The offense was fine. I don't have any problem. I really don't. If you put up 35 points in an NFL game, you should win that game. I don't have any.
Exactly.
I really have no.
Exactly.
I don't really have a problem. No, because let's not leave it at that. Because Ingram, I looked at the snap counts. Ingram was in on 49% of the plays, and I think Hightower was in for like 7%. So you had a running back in for almost only half of the plays. Now, whether you want to run it or not is one thing, but the defense is going to know what's coming. If you're not even, if you don't even have your running back out there, and at least trying to pretend like you might run on a first down, you've got an empty back in your red zone and you have an empty backfield. I don't like it. And I didn't like it before that ball was even snapped. I'm not saying that now because we all, because I know what happened and I know that it turned into a pick six. I didn't like it in that exact moment. I said, I don't like us passing. We should be running.
Okay, that's fine. That's fair.
The offense had nothing to do with the Saints losing this game.
Yes, exactly. This is exactly the path I didn't want to go down, which is fans criticizing individual plays. Like that's the reason this team is losing. The reason this team is losing, of course, is the defense. And I do think Sean Payton deserves blame. Absolutely. You look at the changes at defensive coordinator. You look at the changes in personnel. You look at the changes in the scheme. And I think when you draft individual players to fit a scheme, and then you change it a year later, and then you change it a year after that, like, you start to have these draft picks and these guys that are learning a system, they get a new defensive coordinator, that have to learn a new system that maybe don't even fit in the new scheme. And we're seeing that maybe with Anthony right now, where you invest a first round pick in a guy, and then a year later, he kind of doesn't fit what the new defensive coordinator is trying to do. And it's like this revolving door. It's like the never ending story of just this, like, at some point, they've got to find a coach.
Yeah.
They've got to find a system. They've got to find a scheme and just commit to it and decide.
I don't think
this is, for better or for worse, this is what we're doing.
I don't think that's going to happen until either Sean Payton is gone or until Sean Payton is willing to just wipe his hands clean of the whole thing and put them up and say, I'm not, you know, I'll get whatever player you want. I will let you do whatever you want. I think that Payton is still too egotistical that you could put whatever defensive coordinator you want there, but I think he still meddles, and I think his meddling fucks everything up.
If that's the case, I don't know that that's accurate. I worry that it is, but if that's the case, then when we go back to the original question that was asked, which was, does he deserve criticism? If that's true, that statement you just made, Dave, then I think the answer is yes. Absolutely, he deserves criticism.
Kevin, I saved this question.
I believe that to be true. I believe that he just refuses to just hand over the keys and keep out of it. I really do.
Especially after Greg Williams and the whole Bounty Gate thing.
And you got a little hint of that being true with that whole route when Rob Ryan went off on whatever that was. A morning show or whatever, you know, you said, well, this sounds like it could be true. And I mean, you know, the one thing I point to is what he said about Bird and about how they're not using Bird properly. And I'm still sitting here and I'm still watching Bird 30 yards in the backfield, nowhere near a play. And it really makes me wonder, maybe Rob Ryan, what he was saying was at least half true, if not even fully true.
Kevin, I saved this question just for you. On a scale of soft food diet to dementia, what is Benson's level of awareness of how broken his team is?
That is a great question.
Did anybody else see him during the national anthem? Did you see him like mouthing words that were not the national anthem?
Kevin, are you
there? I'm serious. I'm serious. I got home last night and I just turned on my recording of the game just for 30 minutes or whatever before I went to bed, just because I like
he's
to
singing
see
America the Beautiful, or he's singing this land.
No,
is your
he
land.
Was. If you have it, if you have the game taped, go back and watch it. You know, Irma Thomas is singing in the national anthem, and he's just like mouthing words that at random times. That
he was
is not
probably
the national
just saying,
anthem.
"Find me the butter pecan." No,
I really don't think
he's singing
the
goddamn Irma Thomas song.
Kevin, how
I'm telling you though, do that. Go back and watch it. If you're listening at home, do it. Go back and watch it. If any of you guys, if you have it on tape, go back and watch it.
And tell us. And tell
any
us.
Chance there's like a tape delay thing going where he's singing the anthem, but it's like four stanzas behind.
No.
Yeah. Somebody that's watching the podcast, get on that and then break it down like the Zapruder film. Kevin, how aware is Benson that his team is a disaster?
Oh, God. God.
Oh, I'll repeat it. From a scale of soft food diet to dementia.
I think the missus is definitely blending the ice cream now with a nice port. and having him drink it. out of a nice
and Benson is like, ooh, this is good.
Yeah,
this isn't a question.
I'm pretty positive that Dennis Mauscher pretty much is running that show.
Well, I mean, I heard from one of my rare sources that old man Benson lit sources into them after the Steeler preseason game. It was like, this is bullshit, and if you people want to keep going to the Greenbrier, you better get it together.
So somebody wrote, yeah, who, where?
It was Duncan.
I read that.
Somebody. It was Duncan, and then I called my guy, and I was like, is Duncan kind of stretching? He's like, nope, the old man was.
Oh, well, then maybe I'm wrong.
So this is from Sports Cajun, not a question, but I'm just more resigned and sad that they're wasting Breeze more than angry anymore. I think that's telling. I got a lot of emails today of people asking me if they should get rid of their tickets, which I haven't had. In years, I haven't had.
Hate to hear that.
Haven't had. Oh,
I mean, I've started thinking about it recently. I mean, I don't think
come on, Dave.
I wouldn't get rid of them
until Breeze isn't playing. You gotta enjoy Breeze until the end.
No, but I'm not even thinking about it. You know, in this year,
I live in Virginia, and I'm not getting rid of my tickets.
Well, no, I would keep the tickets. I would just sell. I would sell each individual game and just start not going to the games. But it's. I think we're getting to that point, guys. I think we're getting to the point where, I think we're gonna be. We may be going back to the good old days.
That's fucking weak. That's fucking weak, Dave.
Dylan, well,
I'm gonna say this. I don't want to preview too much of my survivor's guide for this season, but I will say this. I'll give you a little preview.
Somebody just farted.
Suffering. Did. Yeah, nice. Suffering, you need to wear that shit like a badge of honor. All right? Like, if you signed up to be a fan of any team, of any player, of any individual, any sport, whatever, and all you expected was rainbows and unicorns and winning, that's not sports. And sometimes your teams fucking suck. And if you want to revel in the day of reckoning that is overcoming adversity and getting on the other side of pain and winning, then you need to suffer through things like this. And so if you're a good fan, you're going to watch the games, it's going to suck, and you're going to suck it up because one day they're going to get better and they might even win a Super Bowl, and it's going to be so much more gratifying to you than some random fan that showed up in 2006 because he thought the offense was cool to watch and the team was good.
Yeah, are
the offense was cool to watch though.
It was. Dave, are the Saints the worst team in the NFL?
They're second on the waiver wire behind Jacksonville, so they're the second worst team behind Jacksonville right now.
I would say
I would put Cleveland in there.
The Bears, the Bears are pretty wretched.
The run Bears are bad. God,
run by an ex-Saint, by the way, who was the golden child.
Ryan Pace, doing a bang-up job.
He's doing a bang-up job. Is this rock bottom, Andrew, for the Saints?
No.
I mean, given the fact that they've lost two games by a field goal and that they've put up 32, absolutely not. No, I think it absolutely – 0-3 Saints teams in my lifetime that were much worse than this.
Oh, dude, the end of Mora was horrible. Katrina year doesn't even really count. The end of the Mora year, oh, that was awful.
Ray Zellers was their leading back.
The end of the Ditka era was bad. I mean, the end of Bum was bad, like 5-11. Do you think the Saints should tank for a new quarterback and trade Breeze? They can't trade Breeze. His deal said they can't.
A lot of people are asking that.
They can't. They can't trade him, and they can't franchise him. Like they're
you guys need to familiarize yourself with the terms of the new contract.
Yeah, like they're
Breeze is the quarterback in 2017. End of story.
Yeah.
There is no exit button.
Well, that's not true. He's on the team in 2017.
Yeah.
Are you implying that they would start someone over Breeze?
I'm just saying, I'm not implying that that's going to happen. I'm just implying that that's still an option.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Is it me? This is from Eric. Is it me or is this team more likable than the last 2 years? Kevin, the injuries give them a scrappy underdog quality.
No, the injuries just give them the look of a homeless guy who got hit by a car and had his knee dislocated.
2014 was, I hated 2014. 2014 was miserable. That team was unlikable. That was, I thought 2014 was miserable. I would say yes, this team is kind of more enjoyable than that.
As long as Junior Gallette's not on the roster, I mean, that's better than any team that had him.
All right, let's get to game predictions. Saints are a 4-point underdog at San Diego. San Diego is 1-2. They average giving up 4.5 yards a carry and 341 yards through the air. Kevin, who you got?
All right, I'm going to say this, and then I got to hang up. I'm going Chargers. 37, Saints 20.
Ooh, all right. Thanks for joining us, Kevin.
Yep.
And he hung up on purpose this time. Dave, who you got?
I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it'll be a high-scoring affair. I think the Saints are going to lose. So I'm going to go with 38-30 Chargers.
Andrew.
Aren't we supposed to pick goats of the game?
Yeah. Dave, who's your goat if they lose?
For the Saints, the goat. Now, what's the goat again? Is that the greatest of all time?
Or if you pick them to lose, the goat. If you pick them to win, the MVP of the game. But you pick them.
Okay.
To lose,
well, I picked them to lose. Okay, so the worst player. hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Let's go with Jairus Byrd.
Andrew,
oh, it's broke.
Andrew, who you got?
Man, I'm tempted to pick them to win, especially because you got. You know what? You know what? Look, I said 5-11. They got to win
five.
They got to win five games somewhere. Yeah. It's Drew Brees going back to San Diego
for the last time, probably.
Say what you will about the 10-year anniversary and Gleason and the Falcons being back on Monday night. And yes. That means a lot, and yes, there's significance, and that should have been enough to motivate people. But Breeze is going up against a team that pieced him long before he left by drafting Phillip Rivers.
Yep.
And then the injury was just riding on the wall, where they were like, they gave him the excuse they needed to piece him. And Marty Schottenheimer was the coach, and he was never he was non-compliant, refused to play Rivers, stuck with Breeze because he was the better quarterback, and eventually got shipped out because of it. And I just think Breeze, it's personal.
Yeah.
It means a lot to him.
And if he stays with it.
I think when it comes to play, I just think when it comes to player pride and Breeze coming into a game with the motivation to be gangbusters, for me, this, especially the fact that it's in San Diego, is more significant than any game he has ever played. And I think he throws for 400 yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks, and the Saints house the Chargers.
Wow. And I was going to say, if he stays with the Saints and like signs an extension, this will be his only shot with the Chargers. Because
yep.
The Saints...
42-24 Saints. Breeze has a career game.
Wow! Because the Saints aren't going back to.
You sound stupid, Andrew.
They aren't going back to San Diego until 2024.
Write it in ink. Put it in ink.
Wow! You are an idiot.
I'm gonna go. Andrew almost convinced me to pick the Saints. he made a really good case. In my column for WWL, I wrote everything Andrew wrote, but I was like, the Saints aren't going to.
Andrew's prediction is not based 1% in fact.
I'm still saying 5-11.
For his Chargers game prediction, he basically just Donald Trumped it.
Dave, should I just pick him to go 0-16? You don't think there's going to be a couple fluke games here?
They're going to have a random.
I think they're going to go 6-10, but I don't think it's. But I don't think it's the Chargers game.
You think they're going 6-6 the rest of the way, and yes. It's just this one game where they get housed before they start. They start winning a bunch of games. They're a 500 ball club. That's way more. That's way more reasonable and realistic than prediction.
They're gonna have a random beatdown of some team.
Yeah, they're gonna like beat the Broncos.
That would be the total move. I think
Dave. I retract. You're so right. It's so much more plausible.
Exactly.
I am picking the Chargers 38-31, and the Saints have had a missed field goal, a blocked field goal, a fumbled punt. It's time for a kickoff return for a touchdown so they can just cover all the fuck-ups and special teams.
I would almost sign up for that if it meant Greg McManus fired.
That dude ain't getting fired. He is, along with Vitt, he's the consigliere. He knows where the bodies are, where the medicine is, where the pictures are. Like, there's no way, man. He goes out the door. He's there till the end, man. Because if they've had multiple good reasons to change special teams coaches, and they never have. I mean, I don't know. So 0-4 it is. Go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got his survivor's guide. He's got his grades. Dave, have you written in something on Canal Street Chronicles?
No, I haven't written something in a while. thanks for pointing that out.
Well, I'm just trying to get people to go there.
Didn't you say John Hendricks is kind of tearing it up over there, though? Aren't the numbers at an all-time high?
I looked at the numbers today, actually, but I haven't been looking at them normally.
Yeah, they're turning it out, man.
He's doing a good job. He's doing a great job.
Professional operation over there.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Like Dave said, it's a young man's game.
Yeah, it is. Go to Canal Street Chronicles. Go to Saints Nation. Find Kevin on Twitter. Find me on Twitter. Find Andrew on Twitter. Dave, you got Tulane connection. You got Dave sometimes is on the Canal Street.
Did Tulane win this week? They won.
Quadruple overtime.
Quadruple overtime.
Oh, yeah. Who does Tulane play this week?
UMass, actually.
Oh,
how are you feeling about that matchup?
They can get to 3-2.
Yeah.
You get to 3-2, you're halfway to bowl eligibility.
I think Tulane is the only football team in Southern Louisiana that's on the rise.
Oh,
how are you feeling about the coach, Dave? You like him?
Love him. Absolutely love him.
Burn. All right.
I'll ask you again in 3 years.
So, for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed.